knows how to stir it up.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Yep.
And so you be patient. Be patient
in here. I appreciate Brother Richard going ahead and at least singing a song to get y'all going. I didn't want you to sit there and just eat popcorn. Amen. And so, nonetheless, he got it going. Some of you are going, where's the popcorn?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. All right.
He counts the stars, one and all, knows how much sand is on the shore, sees every sparrow that falls.
He made the mountains and the seas, he's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small.
He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. Can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't know all the answers to the questions of life, but I know in whom I have believed. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. Can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make,
every tear that I cry,
He knows my name.
Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad we have a personal God? Amen. I'm thankful I don't have some statue that I got to carry around that doesn't have legs, or he has legs, just can't walk. Amen. I'm thankful my God not only created me, but knows me personally. Amen.
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 Can you turn the music up just a little bit, Jacob, please?
Consider the lilies, they don't toll nor spin. There's not a king with more splendor than them. Consider the sparrows, he don't plant nor sow, but he's fed by the Master who watches him grow. We have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. He really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider the lilies, and then you will know. May I introduce you to this friend of mine,
who hangs out the stars, tells the sun when to shine, who kisses the flowers each morning with dew. He's not too busy to care about you. We have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. He really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider the lilies, and then you will know. Consider the lilies, and then you will know.
They're already leaving. They already know that you're coming up here. They're already going. Everyone's...
I just want to tell them bye. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is so good to us. I mean, He is. And He's especially good to me. I mean, He is. It's. Do you like to pray and talk with the Lord? And kind of ask Him for something, and then He comes through. You know? Boy, doesn't that make you feel good?
Yeah.
Amen. Sunday, we were preaching, and we needed a... I needed a light. And I didn't have one as I was preaching, and I just mentioned it, and God spoke to someone's heart, and they brought me a light. Amen? Well, that is a blessing. Last night, I was preaching. Anybody remember what I asked for? That's what I got. Then someone else was kind of listening in on what was going on when I was presented this, and they said you got to pray specifically. So amen. Amen. So I would like to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. I mean, way down deep. Amen. Appreciate that. Amen. Aren't you glad God lets us smile a little bit? And I say it all the time, but we're the only ones that's really got anything to smile about and laugh about. Because through all the suffering that we might go through in this life, and we might, we have about come to a conclusion that is false, and that is that if you're right with God, you have no troubles and trials. But if you read your Bible, everybody that was right with God had troubles and trials. I mean, Job is about as fine of an example as you can find. And all those things happened because Job was right with God. Amen. But we got to understand this. God was using Job. God was literally honoring Job by mentioning him and all the things that he went through, and yet trusted in God through it all. Amen. And so we praise the Lord for that. And we get excited. I get excited about that. But I'm just thankful that God does. It wouldn't surprise me if sometime today, I don't know what all took place in buying this, purchasing this truck. I don't know what all went through. They had to go through, you know, financing it. All of those things. I know everything I've ever bought and not necessarily new. I don't know much about that. But buying a used one, you go through a whole lot of paper and work and all that kind of stuff. I'm sure this individual was going through all of that today, and God just kind of laughed and said, just wait till tonight.
Yeah.
Amen. Don't you know? I mean, really, don't you know that? I mean, we preach about how God, He knows my name, every tear that I cry, all everything that happens in our life, He knows all about it. We preach that, and you'll sit out there and holler amen and agree with it. Well, if that's true, and I believe it is, I believe when we laugh, He laughs. Amen. If He's going to cry when I cry, I believe He'll laugh when I laugh. I believe it does my Father's heart good to see His child laugh in a time of problems all around us, everywhere. I mean, it seems like it's more than it's ever been. I mean, I would imagine it's been that way with every generation. They thought this is worse than it's ever been before. But it seems like to me, out of the years that I've lived, this is as bad as it's ever been in those years. But we can still smile.
Yes. Amen.
We still got that. Amen?
Amen.
And so let's don't lose that tonight. Amen. Psalms chapter 138. We preached last night and started a message on the Word, and we want to try to continue that tonight. While you're turning there into Psalms chapter 138, Psalms chapter 119 and verse number 89 says, forever. Forever. Boy, that's a long time, isn't it? But it says, forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. As it always is, every word in that verse is important. He says, forever. That means, my friend, that it has always been settled in heaven. It didn't just start being settled in heaven when we came along and found this verse of Scripture and began to read it. It says forever. That means, my friend, before God ever created man in that garden, the Word of God was already settled in heaven. You say, no, I believe, Brother Danny, it's really talking about since the Bible has been in print. Well, you can believe whatever you want to, but you're wrong. Because He says forever. Oh, Lord. Boy, I don't think it was forever. Oh, Lord. I think it's forever. And it hit old David as God was touching his heart and he was pinning these words down. And David realized, forever. Oh, Lord. Amen. Realizing that His Word is eternal, he said it's settled in heaven. It's settled. That means it's accepted. God has accepted it. It's already done. There's no voting on it.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
Now, there's no politicking about it. Amen?
Yeah.
I mean, it's settled. You say, well, is that just for the Baptist or it's for whosoever will?
Right.
It is settled.
Right.
Amen? And thank God it's not only just settled, but it's settled in heaven.
Yeah.
It's important where it's settled. Amen?
Yeah.
My friend, listen, we say a lot of times, if it were just settled anywhere, the devil might get to it. I think he really thinks he can get to it and change it.
Yeah.
Amen? I really do. You say, do you really think the devil? Well, some of us believe we can change it.
Sure.
One of these old new interpretations and all this other kind of junk. Amen?
Yeah.
But let me remind you, it's settled in heaven.
Yeah.
We'd have to get to heaven in order to change it.
Right.
To unsettle it.
Yes.
Amen? And even then we couldn't unsettle it because it's the Word of God.
Sure.
And it's already been settled.
Yeah.
But my friend, once someone gets to heaven to change the Word of God, first of all, they got to be born again.
Right.
And they can't be born again apart from the Word of God.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
But you got to be born again. And when you get to heaven, my friend, and get in the presence of, Well, when they get in the presence of all those things, the walls of jasper, the gates of pearl, the pure river of life, my friend, the street of gold, the mansions and all of that, oh, they would change their mind. But surely when they got in the presence of the King, that would change their mind. They wouldn't want to unsettle the Word of God. Praise God, it's always been settled in heaven. Psalms chapter 138, you stand with us tonight right quick, and we'll try to preach this as fast as God lets us. Amen. In Psalms chapter 138, verse number 1, the Bible says, I will praise Thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto Thee. I will worship toward Thy holy temple and praise Thy name for Thy loving kindness and for Thy truth. For Thou hast magnified Thy Word above all Thy name. The Word of God has been exalted above all the names of God. The Word of God is above it. Amen. That's what He says. Well, thank God for the Word tonight. I praise the Lord. Brother Jeff's already mentioned something about the problems with the internet. My friend, do you realize there's problems with everything like that? But there's no problems with the Word of God. Right. Now you say, well, there's some things I don't like. I didn't say we liked it all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, amen?
Right.
Yeah. But praise God tonight. There ain't a thing wrong with the Word of God. It never needs our attention in the sense of working on it and reestablishing it and getting it to come in right. Amen? Not the Word of God. Oh no, it's right. It's pure. Amen. And it doesn't need our touching. It needs our believing. Not to make it any more real, my friend, but it needs our believing that we might be able to believe and go to heaven. Praise the Lord for that. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank You tonight for Your goodness and mercy. Thank You once again for the song service. Lord, God, You use songs. I know You do, Lord. You use songs to speak to our heart. You use songs to sometimes to comfort us. You use songs sometimes to get us excited. You use songs, Lord, to remind us. God, they still don't take the place of Your Word. And we thank You for that. And we thank You for the song service here, Lord. God, where the songs are to lift You up. God, we thank You. We praise You tonight. We ask You, Father, now that You'll preach to us and You'd preach to us tonight. Lord, we just pray that it'd be a night of getting help. We pray for everyone that's listening tonight, whether they be here in the building or yonder at home or somewhere. Lord, we pray for them tonight. We pray, God, that Your will be done in their life. Lord, we pray that they would really, during this time, God, I pray that they would be as though that they're in an actual service. For Lord, they can be yonder at home. And I pray, God, that You'd help them to get in that mode. Lord, that they're not at home, sit around in their pajamas and to eat popcorn and to relax in the recliner and kick back and maybe doze off during the message. Lord, but help them to realize, Father, God, that we're in a real service. Lord, help us tonight. Father, we need You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We mentioned last night, we started off talking about the Word of God has the power to convict of sins. Aren't you glad of that? That's how you and I got saved. We got convicted of our sins, and we didn't get convicted by the preacher now. Amen. And I know sometimes we our terminology is not just right. It doesn't mean that we're not right, but our terminology. Sometimes someone would say, as we're talking, and we'll say, are you saved? Oh, yeah, brother so-and-so saved me. Now, some of us jump on that, and we just think that, boy, that's how ungodly and how undoctrinally that is. But, my friend, the truth is, some folks, that it's their terminology. When they say that, they don't literally mean that brother so-and-so saved them. They're meaning that somebody, brother so-and-so, led them to the Lord, showed them the Scriptures, amen, helped them with the Word of God to understand. As a matter, hey, someone helped turn the light on in their life, amen, and that's what they're saying. The Word of God is very important because it brings that conviction not only upon the lost, but also upon us saved. Amen. See, God keeps on convicting us. The reason He convicts us in the first place is because of sin. And after that, you know why He convicts us? Because of sin. Amen. You know why? Because we continue to be that sinner. We have become a sinner saved by grace, but we're still a sinner. We're still in this same old tabernacle of flesh that wants to do what the flesh wants to do. I mean, the flesh doesn't want us to come to church. Amen. I'm not talking about my flesh doesn't want you to come to church. I don't care if you go to church every day. My flesh wants me not to go to church. My flesh wants me to think I'm too tired. My flesh wants me to think that I've got a little bit of a sore throat, and so I don't need to go in a service. And you know, it's not because I'm so concerned about you.
Right.
It's because I'm too rotten lazy.
Sure.
Amen.
Amen.
And so the Word of God convicts us. It convicts us of sin in our life, of things that we do wrong. And sometimes it's not things we do wrong, it's things that we won't do right.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. And God convicts us of that by the Holy Spirit of God to let us know that we're wrong and we need to change. Amen.
Yeah.
So we talked about that. We talked about the Word of God has power to regenerate. Or give life. Amen? To give life. Thank God for the regeneration that God, that work that God does in our life. When we come to Him and we fall on our knees before Him and ask Him to come into our heart and save us and to forgive us of our sins, God regenerates us. He makes us alive in Jesus Christ. Amen? How? Through the Word of God. Amen? And so now we come to the next point, and that is that the Word of God has power to produce faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Word of God has power. Do you know why the devil doesn't want you to read your Bible? Because faith comes by hearing.
Right.
And hearing by the Word of God. Amen? I mean, the Bible tells us that in the book of Romans, verse number 10, chapter number 10, verse number 17. He tells us that faith comes by hearing. By hearing the Word of God, my friend, as we hear the Word of God, it brings that saving faith. Amen? We're lost and on the road to hell, and the preacher's preaching. Songs have already been sung about Jesus, about what can wash away my sins. Nothing but the blood. Don't you know? Don't you realize that those songs bring about conviction? Why? Because they are the Word of God. Amen. And so God uses those things written in the Scriptures to bring about that saving faith. And not only the saving faith, as we've already talked about, but the living faith. To live every day. Our faith needs to be so strong, my friend, that we go through the day without wanting to quit living for Jesus. We go through the day wanting to continue on. Amen. And faith helps us. Thank God, without faith, the Bible says it's impossible to please God.
Yeah.
We need this faith, and it comes from the Word of God.
Yeah.
I read my Bible, and well, I begin to read it. I read over there with Abraham how man can be justified by faith.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
It's not by works.
Right.
The world's telling us you got to work. And religion tells us you got to work to be right, to be justified. But my friend, the Bible, the Word of God says that we're justified by faith.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, I read my Bible and I find how, we mentioned Job, I find out how we can, even in the midst of our trouble, how we can continue to serve God.
Yes.
It's possible.
Yes.
Amen. I mean, you and I have come along too late for us to be able to use the excuse that I can't do it. Because we can. Why? The Bible says with God all things are possible. We can live for God in an ungodly world. Oh, we think we can't. We think with this COVID and all this junk that's going on, it excuses us from a life of God's righteousness. Amen? We think we've got an excuse. We do not, my friend. We do not. As a matter of fact, my friend, we ought to feel more convicted today. Why? Because so much darkness in this world. So much. I do not like darkness. I'm not afraid of the darkness, thank God, because I have a Savior. Amen. But I do not like the darkness. I just don't like it. I don't like it when people lie. That's darkness. I don't like it when people live ungodly and then they look at me like I'm crazy because I don't. I don't like all of that stuff. Amen? But listen to me. The Word of God teaches me that even though these things happen, I can just keep on keeping on for Jesus. I don't have to be like the rest of the world and quit. I can just keep on for Jesus. Amen? Reading my Bible gives me that faith. Man, I read where David killed that bear and killed that lion. Amen? And then he slew old Goliath. I say, dear Lord, Lord, help me with this situation. There's giants in my life. Seem like my troubles are so big. I mean, you ever feel like your troubles are bigger than everybody else's? Well, sometimes we say that and we make fun of each other because of it. But truth is, we do, don't we? We feel like our problems are so much bigger than anybody else's. You don't know what I go through. You know what? I don't know what you go through either. But we have faith now. That when that giant steps out, says, come on up and fight, we can say, okay.
Right. Right. Yes, sir. Amen.
We don't turn tail and run.
Right.
Amen. We face our adversary.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. We got faith to believe, my friend, that we serve a God that is able.
Yes.
You and I cannot, but God is able.
Yes.
Amen. Jesus proved that at Calvary, that our God is able.
Amen.
Amen. Thank the Lord. So we get faith as we read the Bible. See, that's the reason a lot of folks, they get saved. And I'm just going by what they say, okay? I don't know, but they say they get saved. And then they don't come to church on a regular basis. And months after that, a few months after that, they quit coming to church altogether. And we say, well, they must have not got saved. That's always an easy diagnosis. But it don't make it true. I think what happened was, they got saved. If the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we know that in its context is more than just believing on God. It's trusting in what Jesus did at Calvary. It's, listen to me, it's knowing something more than just believing on God.
Right. Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
It is. You may not, we talked a little bit about not knowing all the Scriptures, amen, and don't understand them all. Well, amen. Well, you don't have to understand them all. You don't have to know them all, my friend, but you got to believe Jesus is who He says He is.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. And if a person believes that and realizes their sinful condition and asks the Lord to forgive them and save them, they got saved. But now comes a life with Christ. And if they come and they get saved and they visit every once in a while back to the church and then they stop coming, couldn't it very well be it's because the lack of faith in their life? And couldn't that be the lack of faith? Couldn't that come from the lack of reading the Word of God?
Amen.
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Yes.
You say, Brother Danny, yeah, I need some more of that faith. Pray for me that I get more faith. That's not what the Scripture says.
Right.
It does not say faith cometh by prayer.
Right.
Sorry, it doesn't. It says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by. In other words, faith comes by listening to the Word of God. Now listen to me. You can listen to the Word of God while the preacher's preaching or while the Sunday school teacher is teaching. Or you can hear the Word of God by listening and as you pray and as you read it.
Right.
Amen. Folks, I'm so thankful for the Word of God. It has helped me so many times. I find how I can make it through situations in life. Any given situations, I guarantee there's a Bible example for you. No matter what you go through, there's a Bible example to show you that you can make it through. Amen? I mean, there's always... one of my favorite ones is Elijah. I mean, he really is. I face problems from time to time. We have went through some situations, my friend, where it's like, what are we going to do? We do not have, and I don't know how we're going to get, and all of this kind of stuff. And I'm reminded of Elijah, how he stood before the king, and he said, it's not going to rain till I say so. And my friend, then he goes down and he hides himself by the brook.
Yeah.
Why? Because God told him to.
Right.
Now I begin to realize, I got to obey God.
Right.
Where'd that come from?
Yeah.
The Word of God.
Yeah.
And Elijah obeys God, hides by the brook. Elijah, my friend, listen, as he's there by the brook, God is causing the ravens to come in and feed him. Do you know one of the honorous birds there is when it comes to having food and giving it up would be a raven?
Right.
They don't fly around and see even another little bird needing a crumb, and they say, "Oh, I think I'm going to drop that." No, they'll just let them all starve to death.
Right.
Hey, that old raven let mom and dad raven die.
Yeah.
Amen. To keep their clutches on that they have to eat on. Amen. Yet here in the Bible we read where God spoke to those ravens, and they obeyed Him, and here they come flying in and freely giving up the food. Hey, you know what ravens like to eat? Flesh.
Yes.
Isn't that what the Bible says that they brought in to Elijah?
Right.
You know what else they'll eat? They'll eat bread.
Yeah. Yeah.
They came flying in, chopped off that bread.
Yes.
You can't train them to do that.
No.
That's against nature to train them to do that.
Yes.
Yet they did it.
Right.
Well, you know why? God's taking care of His.
Right.
I read that, and instead of being down and out, I'm up a shout.
Right.
Hey, man. Praise God. If God took care of Elijah, He said He'd take care of me too.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about it. Hey, I got me a new truck tonight.
That's right. Amen. Yeah.
Got me a little light. I'd sing, this little light of mine, I'm going to let her shine.
Right.
I got me a light.
Yeah.
I got me a brand new GMC pickup truck. Hallelujah. And it's blue. And I like blue. Amen. Listen, you know what? In all reality, it's just as easy for God to give me that new truck, a big, real size one, as it was for Him to give me this one.
That's right.
If God saw fit, and I really needed it. I'll be honest with you, I don't need it.
Right.
If that old one I got out there in 2006, if I had a new one, the insurance would go up.
Right.
Ain't God good?
Right. Amen.
This is yes, and this is no.
Amen.
Amen? Yeah. Amen. Insurance would go up. Then I'd be like some of you. I'd park out yonder in the middle of the parking lot, way off out yonder, so nobody else would park up next to me and skin it up. I'd start worshiping it.
Yeah.
Great. Start worshiping it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and put lights all over it, underneath it. Not that that's sin, but I know a missionary that sure could have used that money. We joke, but it's truthful.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Ain't God good? Tell me He's not having a time in heaven.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
He's been listening to us gripe all day, and now He sees us come in His house.
Right.
This is, people can say what you want to. This is the best place to enjoy life. Amen.
Yes.
And God's watching it. And He just does things, and here we are laughing about it.
Right.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Right.
I love Him. I just love Him.
Amen.
Because He loves me.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Faith comes by hearing. Well, I read my Bible and I find out, my friend, we can make it through this life. I read my Bible and I find out that my Jesus is coming back after me to take me away. Listen, I may go through some very, 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 very rough times, but He's coming back to get me before the times really get rough. Amen. He's going to see me through those times before. But when that time comes where we call it, the Bible calls it that great tribulation, He's going to take me out of here. Amen. It won't be in a GMC, but I'm a flying high anyway. Amen. Praise the Lord. You say, where do you get that, brother? From the Bible. From the Word of God. And you know what it does? It creates faith. If you fail on the Lord, if you stop serving God, if you quit coming to church, you know what I'm going to know about you? You quit reading your Bible.
Right.
If you start getting a little slack, you know what I'm going to know? You got slack, first of all, at home reading your Bible.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Boy, if we just watch, Christians, if we just watch, we wouldn't have to judge. We just know.
Yes. Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
And it give us, listen, what it should do when you know that about somebody, instead of us getting together talking about it, it ought to give us something to pray about.
Right. Yeah.
Lord, help them. God, for if it wasn't for you, I'd be in that shape too.
Sure. Yeah.
God, help me to stay humble and read the Bible. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. Because as things get worse, Lord, the more I stay in the Word, the stronger You're going to make me, and I'll get through those times.
Yes, amen.
Listen, I don't want to just die and go to heaven.
Right.
And some of you may be content and just dying and going to heaven. I am not. I'm not afraid of death. That ain't the part that bothers me. It's the part of just dying and going to heaven. You say, what? I want to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And He don't say that to everybody that's saved. He says it to those that are faithful to Him. I want to die faithful.
Amen.
Amen. I want to be like old Paul. I want to finish the course.
That's right.
I want to run the race, and I want to finish the course.
Yes.
I mean, I want to do, in this course of life, every little weave and wove I'm supposed to take, and up and down I'm supposed to take, amen.
Yeah.
I want to do it in God's will.
That's right.
Amen. I mean, others may judge me and say, well, Brother Danny, he's having a rough time. He must not be right with God. Hey, have you ever thought, because I'm going up and down them valleys, maybe the reason is because I am right with God.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. John chapter 14, verse 1. You remember last year when we were here, we preached on let not your heart be troubled. That was one of the messages. I had no idea that the COVID was coming along. But my friend, listen to me. I've seen so many places where that message would fit in today. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen. Well, what comforting words. But you know what? They do me no good if this is the way my Bible remained. It's not faith in carrying a Bible.
Right.
It's faith in opening it up and reading it's where you get your faith.
Yeah.
Amen. We need to be faithful doing that. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, because God knows how to keep our heart from being troubled. Yeah. For nothing else, He'll put a silly little old model truck in your life to cause you to laugh.
Right.
Amen. Ain't God so good? Praise the Lord. Faith cometh by hearing. I'm telling you, the Word of God produces faith. And then not only that, but the Word of God has the power to make us wise.
Yeah.
Well, you know, sometimes we get tripped up because of things that we don't understand. Well, I don't understand, and I probably mentioned this before, but I've watched folks. I'm 71 years old now. Never dreamed I'd live to be this old. And now that I'm this old, I don't think it's so old. I think I heard somebody say something. I'm not sure. That's already gone. Amen. But I've watched people, And I have watched people down through the years just walk right into a block wall and turn around and walk off. Oh, man, did that ever hurt. Wow, I was stupid for doing that. There comes that word again. Yeah, I was stupid for doing that. Man, I ought to know better. Just walk right in. I'll never do that again. I'll tell you that. And wham, they hit it again. What are you saying, Brother Daddy? They sin.
Right. Yeah.
And they turn around and do the same sin.
Right.
And they turn around and do the same sin. And they turn around and do the same sin. And it seems like all their life they're bumping into that wall of sin.
Yeah.
You know why? The lack of reading their Bible.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Word of God will give you wisdom.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. It will teach us to, you know, God knows how to put things. We're too, Jeff, we're too busy trying to impress folks. We want to use words and terms that impress people. They may not understand it, but it impresses them. God puts things in simple form. He says it like this: abstain from all appearances of evil.
Right.
Now, what's hard about that?
Yeah.
You don't need a Greek, what do they call them things? Concordance, lexicon, leprechaun. Could be a little leprechaun running around. I don't know. Speaks Greek. I don't know if there is such a thing as a Greek leprechaun. But anyway, evidently there is. But God puts it in simple form, amen, to abstain from all appearances of evil. God gives us that. Where do we get it? From the Word of God. You know what it'll do? It'll keep you from hitting that wall so many times.
Right.
Amen. God wants to give us wisdom. He wants us to be wise, my friend. That's the reason He gives us a book of wisdom.
Right.
But it won't do you any good if you don't open it and study it. Amen. It'll keep you from running into the walls of sin. Young people, you better listen to this old preacher. I mean it. I don't care whether you call me old-fashioned. And I'm going to tell you, young people, you better grab a hold of some old-fashioned, because old-fashioned's going out fast and there ain't nothing replacing it. Amen. Thank God for being old-fashioned. But listen, you better listen to me, young people. You may grow up to be one of the smartest people when it comes to book learning. You may be just brilliant in your mind. But my friend, if you don't study the Word of God, you'll be ignorant.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. I'm telling you, you look at this world, they're messed up with drugs.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, they've been down to their courthouse so many times, my friend, listen to me. They walk in, if the people down there that worked there wasn't ashamed of knowing them, they'd know everybody down there. Because
right.
They're there. Police officers know your name. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? It's not because you're such a great citizen. It's because, my friend, you've been caught up in sin so much.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Why is that? The lack of wisdom.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. The lack of wisdom. I'm telling you, the Word of God, it gives us, it has power to make us wise. Psalms chapter 119 and verse 130 says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." Amen? Boy, we read the Bible. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to read the Bible and believe it. You read the Bible, and even to the simplest, God reveals things to us, my friend, that says, hey, don't keep walking into the wall. Don't keep committing that sin. Stay away. Abstain from all appearances of evil. Boy, I'm going to tell you, some of us need a dose. Don't get mad at me. Some of us need a dose. Amen. You know why? Because we find ourselves courting sin.
Yeah. Right.
Holding hands with sin.
Yeah.
Flirting with sin. And thinking, I can get by with it.
Because
I know when to stop and step away and come back close again and stop and come back close again. If you'll watch very close, you'll find out you're not coming back close.
Right.
you're staying farther and farther away from the Lord. You need a good dose of the Word of God tonight. Amen? Yeah, I've used that word stupid. There's so much stupidity. What we need is just a good dose of the Word of God. It'd help us, keep us from being so stupid. Amen. I've watched my family, my brothers and my sisters. I've watched them over their lifetime. My friend, they've been married 2, 3, 4, 5 times. How many times you got to hit a wall? I'm being honest. How many times have you got to hit a brick wall to realize, hey, this is stupid? You know what? They'd be married 6 or 7 times, but everybody around their town knows them. Amen.
Right.
I'm telling you, folks, we just need... And I, you say, well, Brother Danny, what if they were listening? I hope you are.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
I hope they are. Because the only help they'll ever get is through the Word of God.
Yes.
They're not going to get it from another guy or another woman.
Right.
Amen. They're not going to get it from a bottle. They've been trying that for years. They're not going to get it from drugs. Right. My friends, some even them prescription drugs. They ain't going to get it from that either. Amen.
Amen.
God help us tonight.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, we need some help. Lord, we need some help.
Yes.
We need some understanding. Amen. That's what the Bible says it will give us, my friend. Then in Psalms chapter 119 and 105, he says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I can understand when you go out in the dark and you get out there in the dark and trip over a bush. I understand that. But my friend, listen, you know what I'd learned to do before that happened to me day after day after day or night after night after night? I'd get me a light. Amen?
Yeah.
So when sin keeps hiding out there, just waiting on us to get out there for it to grab us and trip us up, my friend, you listen to me.
Yeah.
Remember, the Word of God is a lamp unto my feet. I really don't need that kind of light. But I appreciate it, but I don't need that. This is the light I need.
Right. Yeah.
This is what keeps me straight.
Right.
What keeps me walking the straight and narrow. What keeps me to... I have this question a lot of times, and a lot of times it comes from my family. But how do you know what to do? How do you know what to do? And I say, well, my Bible tells me what to do.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
This book of instructions teaches me to walk the straight and narrow way.
Right.
And my friend, if I desire it as I go through life and I keep praying and seeking God's will, He keeps showing me.
Yeah.
Amen. He just keeps showing me the right way. One preacher asked, he said, Brother Danny, how do you know God's will? I said, I've never had a problem knowing God's will. My problem's always been doing it. And the reason, and I'm not saying I am so intelligent, I am so smart, nor am I, I'm so spiritual that I know what God wants. It's none of that. It's just, the Bible tells me so. The Bible tells me so. It's not my brilliance that does this, it's God's Word that does it. And you know what? Everybody can have the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God, praise the Lord, will produce some wisdom in us. You know that? I mean, it will help us, my friend. And not only that, but the Word of God has power to produce joy.
Right.
The Word of God has power to produce joy.
Yes, you're right. Yes, sir.
Boy, am I thankful for that. Not that I need joy.
Right.
I mean, everything's right with me. If everything's right with you, why aren't you praising God?
Sure. Yeah. Right.
That alone makes things not right with you.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. Why aren't you praising? I'm not talking about running the aisles.
Right.
I'm not even talking about hollering.
Yeah.
Mm. Right. Boy, if that be the case, you watch sports.
Right.
Man, they're praising the Lord because they are hooping and hollering. Of course, nowadays it's all recorded stuff, you do know. Amen. And see, they're still trying to reproduce what God has produced. Amen. But listen, folks, God wants His people to be cheerful. Happy. Happy. The way we would look at happy. He wants us to be happy. Not just look like we are, but to actually be happy. I mean, to be content. Didn't Paul say that?
Right.
He's content whatsoever state he's in. That's not talking about Georgia or Alabama or whatever. It's talking about in the conditions and situations of life.
Right.
Amen? Paul said, I'm content in those. Now, you got to remember this. I think, if I'm right, I think Paul was in prison when he wrote that.
Yeah.
Are you listening?
Yeah.
He was in prison. Back in Paul's day, to go to prison didn't mean the judge said, all right, you're sentenced to prison for a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever. Now, you go on your merry little way. Go on, they'll take you down there. And don't worry about it. It'll be carpeted. You'll have TV and you'll have workout rooms and all this other kind of stuff. No, back in Paul's day, to get put in the jail meant one thing for certain. Before they ever put you in there and locked you up, you got a beating. Amen.
Yeah.
You got. And I'm not talking about slap, slap, slap. I'm talking about with a whip.
Right. Yeah.
You say, well, what if it wasn't that great of a crime? It didn't matter about the crime. They just sought occasion to beat people.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, folks, listen to me. And here we are. We don't go through anything like that. And we're always down like this.
Right.
So miserable. Well, I'm not miserable. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were so happy.
Right.
Amen. Well, listen, God wants His people to be joyful. Jeremiah says in chapter 15 and verse 16, thy words were found, I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart.
Right.
He said, I consumed your word.
Right.
He didn't even have the New Testament.
Right. Yeah.
He didn't have all the Old Testament.
Yeah. Right.
But what he had, he said, I have consumed it.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And he said, well, it is the rejoicing of my heart. What he said, I read it and I said, well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, amen. You say, you said it didn't take all that. It don't, but it sure feels good. Everyone's
right.
Proud to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Just because you can.
Yeah.
Amen. Just because you can. Amen. John 15 and 11 said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy, this is Jesus speaking, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full.
Right. Yeah.
God wants us to be full of joy.
Yes. Right.
Amen. Over 400 times in the Bible, He uses the word joy, joyful, joyfulness, some fashion of joy. He uses that word, my friend, over 400 and something times in the Bible.
Right.
Don't tell me God's not interested in us having joy.
Right.
He said it that many times. He intends on us to have joy. He,
right.
You say, well, then why don't we? Because the lack of reading the Word of God.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
The Word of God will produce joy. Amen. You find yourself down in the dumps and down complaining and grumbling and griping. And listen, let me tell you something. We all have a battle with these things. Miss Pam will tell me, she'll say, sometimes, Danny, you're up there preaching and you're like you hate every one of us out there. And I said, I do. There's times you won't do what I want you. You don't respond the way I think you ought to. And I thought, boy, you give me 15 minutes with you as me as God. I'll put warts all over you. Amen. But I have to work at it. And I'm not good at it. I'm not good. It's hard sometimes to preach and to smile. Because you're looking at a congregation of people that are in and out.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the door. I'm talking about in or out.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that you had a rough day. But I don't understand why you had one yesterday too. And the day and last year when we were here you did.
Right. Yeah.
I'm trying to understand what's going on.
Yeah.
Amen. We have this struggle, folks. You and I both do. Sure. But it doesn't do away with the fact that the Word of God will produce joy.
Right.
It doesn't change it at all that God wants us to be a joyful people.
Right.
Oh no! As a matter of fact, it makes it more real because I know the devil's fighting to keep the smile away, to keep the joy from bubbling up inside your soul. Well, I like it when God reminds me of how good He's been because I know how good He's going to be because He's good right now. Amen. I mean, really, folks, I come through a situation and then it's not long till another situation arises and I sit back and God just kind of says, now, big boy, what do you think I'm going to do about this one?
Yeah.
What He's doing is reminding me when He says, what am I going to do about this one? He's reminding me there was another one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And He brought me through that one.
Right.
So He's going to bring me through this one.
Right.
I don't know how.
Yeah.
See, we don't always understand.
Sure.
He didn't tell us to always understand.
Right.
But He told us to always believe.
Right. Amen.
So I may not understand how He's going to do it, but I believe He's going to do it.
Right.
He gave me a new truck, didn't He?
Right.
See, y'all are witnesses of that.
Right.
If you ever hear somebody saying, I heard this preacher giving a testimony the other day. Somebody got him a little old light. And then somebody got him a truck. Brand new. They said it was a brand new truck. Brand new GMC truck. Well, it's true.
Right.
And now you can say to them, you heard right. I was there when it took place.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. And you say, but that, isn't that kind of falsifying? What? The truth is, I spoke about getting a light, and I got one. I spoke about getting a pickup truck, a GMC, and I got one. Amen. Now, you can go ahead and go out and say, well, boy, he said all that. He didn't get it. It was exactly what I asked for.
Yeah.
I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm the one that got snookered. But I'm happy.
Yeah.
I don't think it could have happened to a greater guy. Amen. Praise the Lord. God wants us to be joyful. I'm telling you. You know what God's going to do for Danny Long? One day there's going to be a need arise. And for a little while, I'm going to be down. Lord, you know we need that. God, I don't know. What am I right with you? Am I where I ought to be? You know what we go through.
Sure.
And God's going to say, I gave you a new truck, didn't I?
Yeah.
I believe He will. And I'm going to say, them dirty folks down there at Northside Baptist Church. It's going to remind me of you. And you know what God's going to do? God's going to cause me to laugh.
Yeah.
Why? He wants me to be joyful.
Yes,
so He lets these things happen. Amen.
Amen.
To make us joyful.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. The power to produce joy. I'm going to give you this one last thing. We're going to go to the house. The Word of God has power to bring peace into our hearts. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 85 and verse 8, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For He will speak peace unto His people and to His saints. He speaks peace. Over the years I've preached a lot of funeral services back, especially when I pastored. I preached a good many funeral services, not just to folks that I pastored, but of people in the area, because I was there 24 years at the same church as the oldest, how can I put it? I've been in that area longer than any other pastor, whether it be the Methodist or Presbyterian or whatever. I was there longer. And so when the funeral home, when they needed somebody to come and preach a funeral, they would call me. And I always did it because it was an opportunity to present the gospel to people that I did not know. And so I preached a good many funerals and had some good ones.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had some shouting hallelujah times because some of those funerals was for folks that I'd pastored. And I knew their life. And boy, they went out with a shout, and we were still shouting after they went out.
Right.
Amen. But here, the first Saturday of December, just here last month, I preached a funeral of a little lady, Miss Bernice. Miss Bernice was about maybe this tall. Little granny lady of 101 years of age. She and I picked at each other all the time. When we would go to their church, we always picked at each other. They had a little closet over here. The auditorium was much like this, wasn't not hardly as big as this, but it was shaped like this, and a little closet over here to the side. And Miss Bernice, she always claimed the front pew. This, the way the church was built, this was a shorter pew than the rest of them in that side, and this was a lot shorter than the others in this side. And Miss Bernice, she claimed this as her pew. I mean, it was hers. I'm talking about ownership. Amen. And somebody would come in and they'd go and sit down and Miss Bernice would get to them and she'd say, "That's my pew. You need to go find you one." It could be a visitor. Miss Bernice did that. And so what did I do? I aggravated the devil out of her. Amen. And I would go and I'd put my Bible down in that pew. You might could have gotten three people on that pew, but that would have been all. And I'd put my Bible down on that pew, and I'd go ahead about my business and get away from there. And she would find that Bible laying on her pew, and my name's written on there. And she knew it was me then. And she'd go in that closet, and she'd come out of that closet with a broom. And she'd start swinging. Now, I'm not talking about tapping. She'd start swinging that broom. And I mean, I was doing this. And she was swinging that broom. And I'd have to tell her. I got on to that little old lady. I said, "Why don't you park that in the parking lot like everybody else parks their ride?" We had a time. Amen? We had a time. So they asked me if I would do the funeral. And Miss Pam and I went back up there to Tennessee and we did the funeral. It was one of the most peaceful funerals. There was just a peace about it. Most everybody there in the funeral knew about it. She had relatives that were lived off and wasn't there close, so they never had met me or anything. But I told about that, and they laughed. They chuckled. They thought that was so funny. But there was such a peace in that funeral service. And I thought, boy, Lord, this is wonderful that you can give a peace at a time where everybody loved Miss Bernice. She is a sweet little old granny lady, and everybody loved her. And she just hug up on Miss Pam and her cheek and Miss Pam's cheek. And... well, I thought, dear God, you're so good to give us a peace at a time like this. Where a lot of times you go and people are, "Oh, no, 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 don't take them." No. I mean, they're screaming and hollering. Listen to me. If you're a child of God, you're wrong.
Yeah, right.
You're wrong. Yes, you ought to love them. Yes, you're going to miss them. God's going to see to it that you miss those that you love.
Right.
You say, "Now, how's that, brother?" Because He gives us memory. To remind us of those that we love. God's understanding. But in the midst of all of that, He wants to give you a peace that passeth all understanding. You get that from the Word of God. No doubt that church, man, those folks could stand up and testify. Miss Bernice loved the Lord. Amen. Miss Bernice loved the Lord, loved His church, loved His people. Miss Bernice loves them too. I'm telling you, folks, peace that God floods our soul with, we got it. It ain't that you can have it. We got it. Just open that book up. That wonderful book of stories. I don't mean falsehoods. I'm talking about real life examples that God gives us. But that book of stories of life. As a matter of fact, of life that's full of life. That's what God wants us to have. And instead of, "Well, brother, You got a little bit too close to me, Brother Danny. Instead of all that, listen to me. I understand. I don't want it either. But let's use some common sense. And let's go ahead and love God. And love on Him. And let Him love on us. God's able to take care of you. I don't care if you're 150 years old and she didn't die from the virus. She